nothing compares to this. His name is our victory. When he rose, we rose. Hallelujah. We are identified with him in death, identified with him in burial, identified with him in his resurrection. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I'm happy to see you guys again. Long time. How are you doing? How is church? As you can see, church is fine. Hope you had a great time last week. You went through the book of Acts. You prayed well. Thanks so much, so much, so much, so much. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're going to have a great time today. Trust me, great time today. Bro Josh, how are you doing? Yeah, I love your prayers. I was blessed myself. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. Verse 26. You ask me what the topic for today, you can call it the family of God. Amen, amen. Say the family of God. You and I in the family of God. Oh, thank you, Father. Kavasi, Folianti, Rosta Gavatata, Sto, Gantika Mantista, Yelingari, Sivolata, Kaloza Valas, Teganta, Tiro, Sakavola, Zovalazedo, Rokova, Sivoliante, Koli, Dededo, Dade. It's more than unbelief for you to prioritize your problem, for you to prioritize your challenges in church. It's more than unbelief, it's actually dishonor. When you are in church, the gathering of the saints, and you are encumbered with, what will I eat? Where shall I be sheltered? I mean, what will I do tomorrow? Come on. It's more than unbelief. It's also dishonor. Because that means you are placing more premium on the things you can see than on the things that the Lord has said. Amen, amen. Say, in church, we discuss realities. Say again, say, in church, we discuss realities. Say, poverty. It's not my reality. Lack is not my reality. So when I'm in church, I choose to focus on the word of God. Amen, amen, amen. So you don't come to church. You know, it's a common thing that you bring your problem to God. Come on. God was not here waiting for you before you came here. You brought God here. Amen. So he's not coming to church to solve your problem. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Oh, sorry. I hope somebody is not getting me wrong. I mean, what I'm saying is that you don't even have to come to church to solve your problem. The name of Jesus is mine for ministry. It's mine for myself. See, at times some people, when I tell some people that, okay, when we tell some people that giving this way is not like maybe tithing is not the way to avoid the devourer, stuff like that. Some people just say, are you now saying we should not be blessed? Come on, if you want to be blessed, use the name of Jesus. See, as I go in my daily endeavors, I welcome victory every day. Yeah. You just be persuaded about who you are. Don't bring it to church. Like, okay, others can bring it to church and we bless them. Amen. But you don't bring it to church. Solve it at home. Amen. And come and tell us the testimony in church. So we teach you in church so that your week can be perfect. We teach you in church so that further challenges you can deal with them perfectly. Amen, amen. It's a common thing that we when I get to church, I will pour out my heart to God. Are you okay? At times, even you can pray, sorry to say, it's not, I don't encourage you, but you can even pray without talking. You synchronize your thoughts, your thinking pattern. You meditate on victory constantly. You inquire from the Holy Ghost, from the Spirit within, constantly. And you shall hear a voice from behind you saying, this is the way, we're going this direction. You don't need to come to church to know who to marry. That's not it's so kind of a reason for coming to church. Sorry, I didn't know why I'm speaking this direction. Amen, amen, amen. Say, in church, I focus on better things. Amen. The family of God. Genesis chapter 1:26. Hope somebody, if you didn't understand what I just said, ask somebody else after the service or ask me if I'm available. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over what? The fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every cattle, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. 27. Let's read together. Want to go? So God created man in his own. Again, 27. Everybody want to go? Again. So God created man in his own. I'm not hearing some voices. That's what I'm saying again. When I say you read, please, I need you to read. Yes, 27 again. One to go. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, created him. Male and female, created he them. Okay, it's actually clear that you can see the work of creation. I don't want to go through it. Like you saw that in from Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light. There was light. And later he created the sun, created the moon, created the habitations, created the vegetations, created the animals. And then towards the evening of the sixth day, God created, he said he created man. Amen, amen. Praise God. But you know, after he actually saw created man here, Adam did not show up. He said God created man, but we didn't see Adam just manifest, just materialize from anywhere. He didn't say, he never said God created Adam. Please pay attention to details today. He never said God created Adam. He said he created man in his own image. So chapter 2 verse 7. Are you there? Chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became what? Verse 7 again. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became what? So do you observe that even from the communication in Genesis alone, man, Adam was never called the man in the image of God. Adam was never called the man of Genesis chapter 1. The man in Genesis chapter 1 and the man in Genesis chapter 2, they are actually different. The man in Genesis chapter 1 is the man that has dominion. He said he's created in my own image, in my own likeness. But he said, Genesis chapter 2, now say God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. Clear distinction. This one is now formed. Don't worry, one of these will scatter all those verses for you. He said we created man out of the dust of the ground and he became a living soul. Now, I'm not teaching really Genesis 1 to 3 today, but the man God had in mind, it's actually... It's a man in my own image. Two things. He's a man, but he is in my own what? Image. That means, although he's a man, what's the meaning of a man? Who can tell me? Just man. Sir? In Bible, if you say man, what should you first pay attention to? Sir? Humanity. Yes, sir? A word is missing. Man, when you just say man, especially in Genesis, from the earth, Adam, talk now, be free. God's image. Somebody should say something. Male, ah. No. Okay, you're actually correct, but that is from a carnal view, not spiritual view. Yes, anybody? Don't just say a man, he's a man. See, you are a spiritual being, you have to think on spiritual plane. When you hear a man, what is that man capable of doing? I will shoot you. Amen, amen, amen. Anytime you see man, always put in brackets, choice. Somebody that can choose, not a robot. Somebody that has opinion. Right? Somebody is not writing today. Keep right. Somebody that has opinion. Somebody, not a robot. I mean, if you have watched all those robot films, and what is the name of this? Is it Will Smith? You just program a robot to do this, Abby, and it does it. And you just tell someone, you just program, pa, garbage in, garbage out. Do this, and it does it. That is not a man. So in Genesis 1 and 2, 3, we just see a man. Keep quickly pay attention. Because that is the answer to all these plenty things that a lot of people ask. Like, yeah, I was at work and there was this guy. I think he was just asking. I said, okay, why did this happen? I said, no, now. God is looking for, God wants a family and he created. I said, okay. Why did God even create him in the first place? He said, he's tired of all this. He said, why did God even create him? I said, you come. Oh, did I even tell him? I said, that's okay, you, You know that in this is in Nigeria now. Okay, you know there is Boko Haram. You know that there is Lassa fever. Yet you still went ahead to have a son too. Why do you do that? Do you understand? You know, it's always good for us to understand that you are called a man. Why do we have scriptures as big as this? God is begging you. He's telling you what to do. That's why he didn't just say, okay, I'll put my spirit within you. Come on, you just follow my status. Don't worry. That means there won't have been anything for any epistle. You just became born again. What will you be doing? God will say, move left. Right. Go and preach to your boss. Don't get married. Yes, sir. What are you doing? I am following God's plan for my life. Amen, amen, amen. There is nothing like, even angels have choices. In fact, even goats have choice. Is there anything that God creates that doesn't have choice? That is what biology calls non-living things. Abi? Things that don't have choice. That means they don't have life. So even plants have choice. Do you know? I've not done agriculture before. Hey, plants have choice, though. Don't worry. Plant a yam here. Not like yam that you have. Plant it here. I don't want you to see sun. What would the yam do? It will look for sun. It will cough. Sorry, all of you are too tush. You have not been to farm before. Amen, amen. The stem will just keep going. It will cough. I'm looking for sun. He has a choice. Amen, amen. So what I was saying in a sense is that, okay, we are called men because we have choice. We can choose. You can choose. So when God now say, man in my image, a man that now shows my image. So the intention of God in Genesis 1 is a man that what? Receive my image. So in Genesis 2, what was created? The man. What does the tree of life symbolize? The image. What does God want? Let man and this image, let them come together. Are you with me, somebody? Don't worry, I will always go back and recap what I am saying. So just note that there is an intention of God in Genesis chapter 1 for man to be created in the image of God. So in Genesis chapter 2, we saw the man created. Then we saw a tree called the tree of life. And we saw an instruction, like not clear, but it's there, that man is to eat of the tree of life so that he can live forever, so that he can have dominion, so that he can be what God said he should be. But I won't go into details for now. In chapter 3, we discovered that actually man did not partake of this image. He chose to be on his own. The best way you can explain the tree, to explain partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is that I want to be on my own. Are you with me, somebody? That's the best way you can explain it. Self-dependence. Isolation from God. Let me undo this thing my own way. So you are a spiritual man. Take up that idea of there is a tree here, there's another tree there. This one, the fruit is apple. This one, the fruit is guava. This one, if you eat this one, you die. You eat this one, you live. Amen. We have been eating fruit since for how many years now? We have not met that tree. We have not met that tree anywhere. And you know, a lot of people still thought that. Have you seen some people on YouTube before? Very funny. They say they knew where the Garden of Eden is, where God hid it. Let me come and show you. They will now be looking for some geographical that through to satellite, there is a place in the Middle East, very fresh, always be spiritual. Amen, amen. Be spiritual. Okay, don't worry. Leave that. So now, what I'm saying in a sense is that chapter 3, we discovered that man did not receive of that image, therefore redemption was necessary. So there was, in chapter 1, there was a need for the image to be received, but there was no need for redemption. Now in chapter 3, there is now a need for what? Redemption and what? Receiving the image, which now came together anyway. Are you with me? Are you with me, somebody? Okay, now 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So let me fast forward so much. Jesus now came as a sinless, not just as a sinless man, but as the prototype of the Father. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Open your Bibles, everybody. Just follow me. All you need to do is just follow. I will be very plain and simple as I can. 1 Corinthians 15:22. I'm waiting for you. You've got to be fast. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Everybody, 1, 2, go. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:22. Let your eyes be in your Bible. Tola, what are you still doing? 1 Corinthians 15:22. 1, 2, go. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ. Again. Amen, amen. So you can see that in Adam is a race, in Christ is a race. Don't forget, Adam shows, after Genesis 3, then we saw that Adam fell, so he had a fallen image, the image of death. Adam became as valuable as death. But Bible now says, in Adam or die, in Christ, all in Christ, they will be made alive. What was he saying? Go to Colossians 1. The letter of Paul to the Colossians 1. Are you with me? I actually missed you. Like, it's when I don't see you. That's when I vent a lot of aggression on Facebook. Selah. Colossians 1. Joshua, my right hand man. Yeah, I will in verse. Okay, let me read verse 13, 14. You will read verse 15 for me. Yeah, and you read that verse 15 twice. Okay, who has delivered us from the power of darkness? Okay, from verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us qualified meet to be partakers of inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. 15, everybody wants to go. Again, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of? That's so nice. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. So, who is the image of God that Adam is to receive? To be in Christ. Hebrews chapter 1. That is to tell you the new creation is there. It's not a new idea in the mind of God. It's not an idea that came 4,000 years after creation. It has always been what God intended. Hebrews chapter 1. Are you there? This is the image Adam is to receive. God who has sundry times in diverse manners spoke to their fathers. My own father, Odudua, Obatala, and the rest. With respect to the fathers of the Jews. Amen? Are you with me? As in this last day spoken unto us by his what? His Son. Amen? Whom he has appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the world. Verse 3, let's read together. One, two, go. Who being the brightness of his glory, and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So who is the image of God? You are Joshua, are you with me? Yeah, you are distracted. Don't worry. By Sunday I will carve this place with a Old Testament veil. Amen. So who is the image of Christ? Image of God. Jesus Christ. Abi. Yeah. So we can see clearly that Jesus, this has been what God always had in mind. Rejoice, are you getting me? Good. This has been what God always had in mind. What he always had in mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So the family God was looking for, the man he wanted to create in his own image, are the people in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:16. This is so cute a verse. I believe every Christian should be able to quote 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 17 to 21. That is what we call the catcher of the gospel. The 2 Corinthians 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me read from Verse 14. Chai, vosi, ristigodito, lamba patatati, stovata. Never get tired of seeing the message of redemption. Never get tired of seeing what has been freely done for you. Never get tired. Vrato zavasiko, vatato, ristigo, vataki, sliristigan, tovikeva, papa, piriste, lirastiga, mandio, brood more on it, okay? Brood more, brood more, brood more, brood more, brood more, brood more. This is your growth. This is your appreciation. The more you see this, the more you value your Christian life. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 13, saying whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Whereof, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. 17. One to go. Yeah? Yes, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, this is the man God was looking for in Genesis chapter 1. And that will receive the image of Christ. It's very possible for somebody to just look through the Bible and not see these details. This is why the Bible was written. For man to be where? In the image of Christ. Now, follow me. John chapter 3. The new creature. John chapter 3. Okay. John 3. Please pay attention to this chapter. It is very vital. John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. That's why we derive the word Nicodemusly. You understand? Not even on Facebook, some people, they like what we are doing, but they can't associate with us publicly for the sake of they are Jews, so they will now come Nicodemusly to your inbox. Amen. Ah, sir, thank you. You know God is using you. Just be praying for us here too, sir. The day they are ready, they will leave Babylon. Amen, amen. Praise God. Now, so I am saying, verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night. Why coming by night? Come in the day. That's why Jesus finished him very well. And say unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Sorry, eyes up, everybody. Have you even wondered if a chapter has importance like this? Why did all the other writers, why did they skip it? It's not in Matthew. Luke did not remember to write this. He was busy writing. Well, he was the one that gave Catholics the confession we have today. Holy Mary, you are blessed of God. Who sent you? Know, John, do you see Mary anywhere in John? Nobody. John didn't remember Mary. So who is Mary? Holy? Oh, what? Holy? Holy Kamba? Or what? No? Oh, Jesus went to Egypt, came back. John said, guy, it's not necessary. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning was God. All things were made by him. Without him, there's nothing made that was made. In him was light. Light was the light of man. Light shining in the darkness. Darkness comprehended not. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. Oh, no, he talked about himself. No, sorry. And that John. That was his brother of the same name. Same came to bear witness for the light that all men through him might believe. It was not the light, but it was sent to bear witness for the light. That was the true light that shined. And he got to verse 12. Said, as many as received him, to them what? Gave power. It just went straight. And somebody went to genealogy. Look. And Abraham begat. Sorry, don't curse me wrong. I'm not saying it's bad though. No, at least thank God we learn things too from there. But pay attention. This verse, this is so important. John 3. Now verse 3. So this guy just came. Jesus was just telling Jesus, brother J, no man can do this miracle. So I see. This is what I'm saying. This man knew the Pharisees, they don't do miracles. He knew that the high priest, that where he was, they don't do miracles. Yet, you are still coming to Jesus by night. No man can do these miracles except God is with him. And Jesus just left everything he was saying and came straight. Verse 3, what did he say? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hey! Jesus did not give anybody any responsibility here yet. What is he saying? Except a man be born again. That means it is required for a man to be born again for him to see what? The kingdom of God. Please pay attention carefully. That means it is required. He didn't say go and be born again. Do you get what I'm saying? He didn't say go and work out your salvation, go and be born again. No, except say, but it is necessary for a man, I mean, to be born again, for him to see the kingdom of God. No. A lot of people had a confusion with this chapter, and as plain as it is, see verse 4. Now, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That was key. We'll see that later. Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, you know, sorry to say, I remember I was in Deeper Life years ago, plenty years ago, and they said, okay, there's a stage of what? Seeing the kingdom of God, that you just see it. That is it. There's now another stage of what? Entering. I know you believe it before. When you are what? Born again, you will see. When you're not born of water and the Spirit, you enter. Now, it's very key. Just first of all, and somebody was also asking me on Facebook, he said, this is born of water here. He said, it's confusing. I said, come. I said, okay. I said, I will not even use any Greek word or to explain and or chi for you right now. I said, let's read everything. Are you with me, everybody? Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born of the Spirit. I'm asking. What is there? You must be born what? Again. That means he went back again to verse what? So he said, he used born again in verse 3. He used born of water and of the Spirit in verse 5. In verse 6, he used what again? Born again. Does that suggest that he's still saying the same thing? Huh? Okay, now, keep going. Verse 7. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Verse 8. The wind bread where it listed, thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell. Please give us chocolate. That cannot tell where it cometh from or where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of his spirit. Verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, please, if you can label this scripture, label it. How can these things be? From verse 3 to verse 8, Jesus was saying what is required of man, what man should do, what man should become. Man needs to be born anew. Man needs to be born in the image of God. But Nico now asks, okay, how can these things be? Like, okay, what is our responsibility in this? Because Nicodemus, that guy is intelligent. For you to be born, new is not your responsibility. Okay, how much do you pay your dad and your father? Sorry, your dad and your father? Are serious? Your dad and your mom to bring you into the world. Rejoice. When did you bribe your daddy? Daddy, please, I want to come to the world. I know there are several children in you that is struggling to come out. Me, I want to be the one. What did you do to your dad? Can you tell me? Do you remember? Maybe when you are in the mid-heaven, you are floating somewhere, you are wearing white. Hey. So, to be born, and once you see the word bat, means that this is something beyond you. Nico now asks, okay, we have been born by a woman already. How can we be born again? Now, follow from verse 10 now. Jesus answered and said unto him, are you a master of history and you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know and testify that what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. Verse 12, for if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? 13, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is from heaven. Now, Basani is telling you that. He said, okay, nobody has got to this heaven before. I am the only one that came down from heaven to tell you that the information I'm about to give you is authentic. Don't rival what I am about to say with anything else. I am the only one that just came from heaven. Now, what's the next verse? Verse 14. Can we take 14 together? One, two, go, everybody. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so Moses, son of man, be lifted up. 15. That whosoever what? Whosoever what? In him should not perish but have. 16. For God so loved the world that he. That whosoever believeth on him should not have. 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Please, just look at your Bible. Verse 15, you see the word what? Eternal life, right? Verse 16, you see the word what? Everlasting life. Now, verse 3, what do you see there? Born again. Verse 5, what's there? Born of water, born of the Spirit, and you enter what? You enter what? So, is it easy to say the kingdom of God is equal to eternal life? Is that easy? That the kingdom of God is the same thing as what? Everlasting life. So, what is man's part in being born again? He does what? He believes. So, is that also clear that to be born of the water and to be born of the Spirit or to be born again, they are all saying the same thing? That to be born of water, there could have never been water baptism. Unless water baptism can launch us into the kingdom of God. Is that clear, somebody? So, eternal life, everlasting life, and kingdom of God, the same concept. Born again, born of water, born of the Spirit, the same concept. And how does a man bridge it to? He believes. God wants a new creation. Are you called Tola? Up the fan, God wants a new creature. And this is the destination. He will exist eternally. But what will he do? He will believe. Now, flow with me. Flow with me. You know, I've not even got to where I'm going at all. Huh? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Are you there, somebody? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Please open your Bible. I'm waiting for everybody. 23, want to go? Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So, how do you become born again? By the what? Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Which word of God? What does it mean by the word of God? What must I believe? To remember, a man like Colinius, he believed some things, and God said, yes, guy, you tried, but you are not yet saved. Say, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let us now demystify what is the word of God here. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Please ensure you are opening this scripture. That's all I need you to do. Romans 10. What does it mean by the word of God there? So you say you will be born again by. What is the word of God that brings faith? You have to demystify it. Now, just stay in the same chapter. Let's start from verse 4. Okay, I'll just take it gently. I'll read verse 4. You read verse 5 till we are done. 4 says what? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Verse 5. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall I send into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. What is that? Wait. What's that? Everybody, be intelligent. Be intelligent. Look at your Bible. Certainly, what is that? Verse 8. To bring Christ down from above. What is that? Yeah? incarnation. Say, don't say in your ass that the incarnation is impossible. Now, don't forget what I said. What is the word of God? Peter told us you'll be born again by the word of God. What is the word of God? It's not saying you'll be born again by just reading the Bible. What is that word of God that makes a man saved? So he said here that say not in your heart that who shall ascend into heaven to bring Christ down from above. What's the next verse? Everybody, yes? Again, yes, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. What is that, everybody? So, what is the word of God? See the next verse, yes, but what said the word? Which word? The details of his words? Okay, now, see verse 8. But what said the word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy ass, that is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe with your heart that God hath raised him from where? Amen? From where? Thou shalt be. So what is the word of God that saves a man? Everybody? What is the word of God that saves a man? So if I come to church and I was just opening Bible, I was quoting mighty in scriptures, Apollos, I am not focused on that death, burial, and resurrection, would that man become saved? No. Salvation has that strict perimeters. That what? Jesus came as a man. He will die for our sins. He will be raised from the dead. Amen, amen. This is why we have church. Now, flow with me. I'm almost... So, verse... Where is my Romans? Verse 10, for with the heart... Everybody, verse 10, yes? For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Okay. Now, so what is that word of God? The word of God simply means the word of Christ. Simple. The word of Christ, the details of what Jesus did. Please be putting down the important things I'm saying. John 16. Who remember this topic we are treating today? Yeah, the family of God. You and I in the family of God. John 16. This is so good. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Please, look at your Bibles. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Verse 9. Everybody want to go? Again, verse 9. Of sin. Now, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment, because the devil is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. 14, everybody, this is where I'm going. 14, yes? Again? He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. 15, yes? All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine. Again, 15. Analyze 15. Just think on the Bible. Don't just read. All things that the Father hath are mine. What's the meaning of that? Yeah? Tola? All the wealth. Works that the Father hath is in the Son. Yes? Any other one? Authority. Yes? Good, sir? Him. Referring to him. Yes? Any other one? All everything that the Father hath are mine. Think about what we are saying before. Talking about the Spirit that it will reprove the word of sin, righteousness, judgment. Sin because they believe not on me. Righteousness because I go unto my Father. Judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He's judged. That one answers what Ebon said, that authority. The prince of this world is judged. That means when we declare authority in the name of Jesus, that is the will of the Father. What is this? See, talking about
All things that the Father hath are mine. No, that's serious. All things that God has are mine. That's what I'm telling you. That means the revelation of the Father is where? It's in the Son. Express. So for a man to be born again, it's for him to receive the salvation that Jesus gives. It's for him to be in the to be in the image of God is to be born again. He is to receive Christ, actually. Now, so go back to 1 Peter 1. So the man in the image of God, or the man in the family of God, is the one that has believed the gospel of Christ. I say that again. The man in the family of God, the man of Genesis chapter 1, is a man that has what? Believed the gospel of Christ. Don't forget, everything that the Father has, they are in the Son. So if there is anything that the Father was talking about in Genesis chapter 1, they are in Christ. 1 Peter 1. Oh, you will be blessed today. I promise you. 1 Peter 1 now. See what we are reading before? 23. Let me read 23, 24. You will now read 25 for me. 25 will explain everything clearly to you. Please keep looking at that Bible. Don't get tired. Eh? I just beg you. Service is just 2 hours in. Bible study is 2 hours in a week. You will pay attention. Although I pray I will increase it. Amen, amen. For being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for how long? Forever. 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. 25. Everybody want to go? Please, you are not reading with my own type of enthusiasm. 25. Everybody want to go? And this is the word which by the gospel. Amen, amen, amen. So, can you link verse 23 and 25 together? Look at the Bible, everybody. Link it together. You can see it. Looks like a primary school stuff, but to be born again is to receive the word of God, which is what? The gospel of Christ. So, Galatians 6, verse 10. You are now in the family of God. Galatians 6, verse 10. So, any man that has believed that gospel is in a new household, is in a new family. You are in a new, you don't belong to that lineage of generational nonsense again. Amen, amen. Praise God. For a believer to be under generational curse means God is under generational curse. Galatians 6, verse 10. 6 verse 10. Everybody, let's read for me. Read for me. One, two, go. Hey, come on. See, don't just buy what I'm preaching to you. Buy my attitude. I'm selling it to you today. Buy it. Buy it. Same way I shout when I read Bible. I want you to shout when you are reading it. Eh? It will just bat some things in you. Some things will just sink in because you say it boldly and loudly. Okay? Because you just say, you echo it. Amen, amen, amen. You know, we don't do preach on, write on, scatter them, pastor. You know, we don't do that. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that when you see a word that you just look cool like Saturday. Like you are cold. Amen. Okay, Galatians 6 verse 10. 6:10. Everybody, 1, 2, go. Yeah. Especially them who are of the household of faith. Amen. So by the reason of the gospel of Christ, we have a new household. There's a new family. Amen, amen. It's a new family. Now, briefly, I think let me just talk about three today. Perhaps on Sunday, I will continue on this, or I will go back to my Hebrews 10, my own belief series. I'm not done with that thing. I'm saying Hebrews again. So, I said, what? So, especially there of the household of faith. Wow. So, okay, today, three bases. I write that down. Three bases of our familyhood. What are the three pedestal, three bases, three platforms on which we have a new family today? Number one is what I call redemption. Redemption, redemption. Acts 20. Be fast now. Acts 20:28. Oh, Vosati, Colianti, Rosa. This is who you are. You have a new family. Yeah? You don't behave like you don't have one. You have a new family. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Read the latter part for me, everybody. To feed the church of God. To feed the church of God, which he has what? Ha. To, oh God. No, to purchase, there is a Greek word, peripiomai. You want to write it down? I think it's P-E-R-I. P-E-R-I-P-O-I-E-O-M-A-I. Try and pronounce it for me. P-E-R-I-P-O-I-E-O-M-A-I. Peripoiomai, right? You didn't write it. Peripoiomai. Amen. It means it's not just to buy. Say, which he has purchased with his own blood. He is to buy it and bring it home. You know, you can buy something in the market and you can forget it there. Remember? Huh? I have not forgotten things in the market before. Let me see. You have not forgotten things in the market before. Ah! I would have said you are very stingy. Like, you are very... Somebody will go to Lagos from maybe Yakure. I will buy everything. I will forget I didn't put it in the boot. I'm serious. In the Alaba market. The wheelbarrow man brought it to the car. Man was waiting at the booth. And you just entered your car. You drove off. You not got to room. Where's my package? That man is rich now. So that is not redemption. Redemption is that he bought you and he brought you home. Peripio. Peri. Amen, amen. So he bought you and he brought you home to acquire for oneself. Romans 3. Say three bases. So that is the believer, the one we call born again, is the one that has been purchased. He is now at home with God. So you can't use that for an unbeliever. We knew that the redemption of Christ covers for all men, but this man has been purchased. This man is home. Ooh, hallelujah. This one here is home. He's at home. What's the delay? He's at home. He bought you. He brought you home. Okay. I said there, I'm Romans chapter 3. Don't mind the people that quote verse 23 without verse 24. Just silliness of the highest order. You just love bad news. Somebody will go to Romans 6:23 and say, for the wages of sin is death. And you will stop there. Jesus will slap you in heaven. I'm serious. Jesus will slap such in heaven. No, if it's under verse, it will be better. The same verse. But what that thing was saying is that, although death is what sinners deserve, but the debt I paid, and I gave you eternal life. And you now stood with for the wages of sin. You know, there was a time that when this inflation started, someone would now send a broadcast message. I don't know if you saw it. Somebody, one miserable fellow sent it to me too. Said, yes, the price of Gary has changed. The price of Maggie has changed. The price of petrol has changed. But the wages of sin remains the same. You see debt. Those are who we call ambassadors of the bad news. They are committed to share bad news. It's so much in their blood. They just have to say it. Okay, flow with me. So I said, Romans 3:23. Say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 24. Everybody want to go? Ooh. 24 again. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption. The Greek word apollotrosis, from two words, apo and lutro. Apollotrosis, it means child. Through the redemption,
that is in Christ Jesus. So what you have in Christ is not just see this place in Hebrews. Let me just want to explain that one to you. Hebrews 10. Verse 10. Are you there? Hebrews 10 verse 10. I'm still coming back to this anyway. Hebrews 10 verse 10. Read for me. One to go. By the which we were sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus. Yes? So, apologetics means complete payment of a ransom. It's not just payment. Complete. Apo means complete. Lutro means ransom. So, apologetics means complete payment of a ransom. Ooh, hallelujah. You are here because Jesus redeemed you fully. Fully. Capital letters. Say, I've been redeemed. That's why I love the name of that church. I didn't know. I just love it. The redeemed. Christian. Church of God. Don't force that. Yes, those are not people that can go to hell. Even if they don't know. The redeemed. Why didn't Jesus told Papa King John? Okay, we are the redeeming Christian that will be the church of God one day. The redeemed. People who have been bought with a price. Past tense. That's strong. Very strong. Done. Hallelujah. Yeah, so the first basis for our familyhood is redemption. Secondly, that's what I call sanctification. Sanctification. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Agios in Greek. I've told you anywhere you see sanctification, you can replace it with holiness. So if the Bible says you have been sanctified, it means you have been made holy. And some people don't worry that redemption is by Jesus, that sanctification is by yourself. They are not serious. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Whoo! 1 Corinthians 6, 17. Everybody want to go? But he that is joined unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I have the Holy Ghost. Same 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Amen, amen. Hebrews 2. Be fast. I want to close in 20 minutes time. Hebrews 2. Verse 10. Hebrews 2, verse 10. For it became him by whom are all things and for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Verse 11, want to go. But he that sanctified, who and they who are what? Sanctified are all one family. Amen. Say one family. Again, read 11 again. Yes. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of, for which cause? Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love that. 1 Peter chapter 2. Be fast. Let me just rush through this. I still have something I wish to explain here. Don't worry, I will do. I missed you, so I will hold you. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Want to go? You also, as lively stone, are built up a spiritual house, a holy what? Priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. Our epic verse, verse 9. One to go, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, you are a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen, amen. Praise God. Say, I've been sanctified. Say, it means I have the Spirit of God. Say, the Holy Ghost is in me. It means I am holy. It means I am separate. Amen, amen. See, in the New Testament, holiness, separation is not by what you wear. If you have a tattoo on your lips or on your head or in your back. No, that is not holiness. Holiness simply means you are indwelt by God. So everybody must treasure you as a temple of God.
That's holiness. Who say I am holy. Say I am sanctified. Let me deal with something briefly. Go back to that, my Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Know some people in their own, they that's why I love when you want to explain Bible, stay there. Don't say what he's not saying. Hebrews 10, verse 26. If we sing willfully after we have, it's not talking to you. After we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remained no one sacrificed for sin, but a fearful looking for judgment and fearful indignation which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses of how much sore punishment. Now, suppose he shall be thought worthy of who has trodden under the foot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite under the spirit of grace. Now, some people here in an attempt to say, okay, although that sanctification is for believers, but believers cannot lost it. They now went to say, that believers cannot lost. This is what he said. He said, how did we even put it? That a believer can be sanctified. A man can be sanctified, but he can lose his sanctification, but he will not lose his salvation. It's a rhema. It's a mix we or us, word folks. Justify that claim. We went to 1 Corinthians. Go there. Be fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Say, I am intelligent towards the scriptures. See, even at times, you don't even know some things, but at times, you must know what some things cannot be. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14. They will now say, it's okay, for the unbelieving husband is what? And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. As your children are unclean, but now they are holy. So, they will now come here to say that, can you see that somebody can be sanctified and yet he's an unbeliever? Sorry, are you thinking? I don't know if you are thinking. You are reasoning with me. Am I going too deep? This is not deep now. So, they will now mark 1 Corinthians, Hebrews 10, 29 with this one. Say, okay, somebody can be sanctified even though he's an unbeliever, but he will lose it. But if he's saved, he will not lose it. That is silly. See what sanctification here is not the sanctification we have in Christ. Let me just show you. I will not even leave here. We just read verse what? 14, right? Huh? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14. Now, just look at verse 16. Simple. 16, want to go? For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save his wife? Simple. So, what is sanctification there? That means he set apart for salvation by the wife. You get that? That means this man is like a potential candidate of salvation because a believer is there that will keep preaching. Without the conversation of their wife, without the word can be saved. You remember that place in 1 Peter? So, sanctification here is not what you have in Christ. What we have in Christ is once. It cannot be lost. It's what he did by his blood. And don't forget, here again, he said, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the what? By the wife. So who does the sanctification? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Is it the blood? Wife. Simple. So don't remoralize the scripture. What Jesus has done is what Jesus has done. Don't take from it. Don't subtract from it. Number two. No, that's number two. Number one, I say redemption. Number two, sanctification. Number three, this is where I'm going. Fellowship. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Sorry, I know you want to go. I love to keep you 10 minutes longer. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. So I said the basis of our familyhood, number one, our redemption. Number two, I said our sanctification. Number three, fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. God is faithful by whom you are called unto the what? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Philippians 2. No, leave that Philippians 2. Go to 1 John chapter 1. Straight. So say we have fellowship with one another because we are of one family. That means all saints, wherever you meet yourself, all saints generally, we have fellowship together with one another. 1 John chapter 1. And this one will help you to understand 1 John 1 better today. Be fast. Let your eyes be on your Bible. Don't look at me. I've not grown taller than the last time you see me. 1 John chapter 1. We have to read from verse 1 already. Say that which was from the beginning. Please pay attention. Pay attention. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hand has handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show you unto you that eternal life. Please, what is verse 2? We are showing it unto you, eternal life. What's that? We are revealing it, we are preaching it, we are carousing it to you. Okay, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, which declare we unto you. Why? Read together, once you go. So, who John was initially addressing here, do they have fellowship with them? Is that clear? So when you now read down, when he was now saying verse 6, okay, see verse 5 said again. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. That means we are telling you that this God, our God is light. Oh, in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is the light, we have, that means if you walk in the light, that is to be born again. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, does what? Cleanses us from how many sins? Amen? So if this man becomes born again, what will the blood do? Huh? Don't forget, do you remember how we interpreted John 3? Let's just use the same here. So if you walk in the light, to walk in the light there, don't forget the light is the sun. Okay? He told you before that the light is the sun. So if you walk, sorry, okay, let me calm down. The light is the sun. If you walk in the light, as is in light, you will have fellowship one with another and you will receive the redemption by the blood. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Sorry, if you want to use the, okay, look at verse 7 and 8 together, everybody. Verse 7 and 8. If we say that we have no sin, what is the phrase in verse 7? No, what is the phrase that phrase you can derive from verse 7 to explain that? Verse 8 said, if we say we have no sin, that's verse 8. What is the phrase you can derive from verse 7? No. What is the phrase you can derive from verse 7 to connote that? See the initial part. That is the positive. This guy now, he said, what is verse 8? What is the beginning part? If we say we don't have sin, if you say that we don't have sin, we don't have any sin for Jesus to forgive, what would that be in verse 7? Hey, be intelligent. Sir? We don't walk in the light. So to walk in the light is to what? Accept redemption. To not to walk in the light is to deny redemption. So now look at the next verse, verse 9. If you what? Stop. To confess your sins there is still what? To walk in the light. It's not to be poto poto. God, I stole Maggie. I stole. Focus on context. Sorry. You didn't understand what I just did. What you just did? Let me see. Man. Thank you. One. Be bold. Two. But you don't have said it now. No, I said you are the one that explained, told me verse 7. What? If you don't. Okay, sorry. I said if you don't understand, let me see. Man. That's what I said. That's good. Okay. Only, yes. Rejoice. Because of you, we will all be here till 8. No other. Now, see again. It's a parallel comparison. Whatever I am saying now is what I am saying later. What I am saying in verse 3 is not different from what I am saying in verse 9. So verse 3, what's there? That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. So we are telling you something so that you should have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. It comes to verse 5. It says, this then is the message which we have heard and declare unto you, that God is light. This God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, if we are not walking in that, if we say we have fellowship with Him and you are walking in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. If we walk in that light, don't forget God is light. Light is redemption. As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That means if we walk in the light, our sins will be automatically removed. So to walk in the light is to accept the testimony He gave you in verse 3. Is to accept to have fellowship with them. Is to accept the message. He said, that which we have heard, which our hand has what? Handled of the word of life. So, he now said in verse 8, the same thing. If we say we have no sin, to say we don't have sin is to say what? Jesus, there is no sin in me for you to forgive. It's not to walk in the light. So, if you match 7 and 8 together, if we say we have no sin, is to refuse to walk in the light, is to walk in darkness. Verse 9, if we confess our sin, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Match verse 7 and 9 together. To confess your sin there is to walk in the light. Is to acknowledge that, yes, I know I have sinned. Yes, I know I need redemption. Is that clear? Is to say, yes, I know I have what? Sinned. And I know I need the redemption. That is purely evangelistic. It's not saying you're going to be confessing your sins. Don't forget, nobody again repeated this in the entire New Testament. Nobody. Okay, let's flow. I will soon close. So sinners are called to share of our fellowship. Please write this down, everybody. Write this down. Although fellowship is what we all have in Christ, that's talking to believers anyway, but fellowship is practiced with your immediate folks in Christ. Fellowship is what we all have in Christ as a family. But fellowship is practiced within what? Our immediate folks in Christ. Hence, that is the idea of the local church. Fellowship is practiced in the local church. Acts 2. Where is my keyboard? He has gone to for wedding or something. Acts 2:42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. One to go, everybody. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, Haliozofi, Loreste, Gavis, Satita. 1 Corinthians 10:16. Don't worry, I love to explain this one again, but let me just read it. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? Communion there means fellowship. Fellowship of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? Now he's talking about something that they do and mix themselves. He say they are having what? Fellowship. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. I'm not saying when you eat Holy Communion, you're having fellowship. But a lot of people are eating Holy Communion and they are not having any fellowship. And you can't even have fellowship by eating communion. I'm serious. You have fellowship with spiritual death. But get what he's saying. The blood, see it again, verse what? 16, right? Yeah, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body
of Christ. Verse 17. 17. So you can get what he's saying. 17. One, two, go. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partaker of that one bread. Can this be Holy Communion? This is what we have together. Fellowship. Oh, are you a bread? Should be eating you. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say we have fellowship one with another. So in short, I'm closing right now. See, guys, everybody, lift up your eyes. Just look around you. Look around you. These are your family. Keep looking. You are tired of looking at me. Keep looking. I'm told you are not looking. Look at your back. Look at that black man at your back. He's very black. He's so black. Two people are black there. One and two. These are your family. 1 Peter 1:22. I said again, although fellowship is what we all have in Christ, but fellowship is practiced within your immediate folks. Fellowship is practiced in the local church. 1 Peter 1. Be fast. 22. Yes? Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto your faint love of your brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart. How? Again. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. One of the ways we express that love is forgiveness. Colossians 3. It's forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3. You know, those words, they are very strong. They see that you love one another. You know, he didn't actually say love all saints fervently. No. You that you are around the same carcass there. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervently. We must be fervent in love in this place. This is where I'm going. You have been redeemed. You have been bought. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. 13, one to go. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, even so. Sorry, nobody is quarreling here. I'm not really discussing anybody. Somebody is quarreling. No. Verse 14. Now read with my own type of voice. Verse 14. One, two, go. And above all this, put on charity, which is the bond of what? Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, there was a church in Corinthians that they are even carrying themselves to court. In church, they will say, don't worry, we settle it in court. Don't worry, we'll show you. No. See, these are your family. Allah will start. These are your family. We are together in this. These are people that God has given to you. God gave you everybody you are seeing around you. He said, love one another with a what? Pure heart, fervently. If one of us miss fellowship, 10 people should call him. Start praying in tongues silently, everybody. If one person just did not, we didn't see him, we should all call that person individually. Brothers, I didn't see you. This is your family. We're in the family of God. That's why I started from redemption, sanctification, what Jesus did, the intention of God. This is your family. Start praying in tongues. Start praying in tongues silently. Romans 12, verse 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, everybody, I want you to read this. Yeah, don't be distracted. Let's finish. Romans 12, Romans 12:10. Are you there? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's read together. Romans 12:10. One to go. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and in honor preferring. Lastly, Ephesians 6. Keep praying. Don't stop praying. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians 6:18. Yeah, want to go, everybody. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and washing thereon with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Do you know all saints there? He's not talking about all the saints in Nigeria. He's talking about the saints in Ephesus. Keep praying in tongues. I say, keep praying in tongues. Thank you, Father. Vatilo Rastega Vatitos. Mali Oze Mali Rasta Gatilia Mazata Maleste. This is your family, okay? We have to care for one another. We love one another with a fervent love. Pure love. Fervently. Fervently. Don't spend all your credit calling some people that are far away and you forget your brother that you just had fellowship on Sunday. No. Make that a culture. Very few of you even knew my house. Come on. Make it a culture. Love one another with a pure heart. I'm not talking to you, Joshua. With a pure heart, fervently. With a pure heart, fervently. With a pure heart, fervently. Bring your feet, everybody. We are praying. Just keep praying in tongues. With a pure heart, fervently. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please, as we are, where you are, be on your feet, everybody. Just hold your hands across rows. Just across like that. Just hold your hands. Keep praying in the Spirit. Keep praying in the Spirit. Keep praying in the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Keep praying in the Spirit. I didn't say murmur in the Spirit. Come on. We are not of the church of the murmurs. We pray in tongues. Just pray, just pray. Don't worry, I'm not saying we are singing family song. Just pray.